Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MetaCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Let's sit back and chat about what is going on up in the stars this morning and or today, and a little bit about human design, gene keys, whatever it is we want to talk about today. I hope everybody's doing well. I was a busy, busy person yesterday trying to catch back up after being gone for a week. It's amazing how many emails and messages pile up on you in just 1 week. It's amazing. And I did manage to get through most of them yesterday, thank gosh, because today I have a lot of writing to do. So that is my plan for the day, is getting done here, getting charts to people who've requested them, and then getting back to writing. So good morning, Mimi, and good morning, Rebecca. I hope you girls are doing well. And it is a beautiful sunny day here so far. I don't know if it's going to stay that way, but I realize that how quickly our bodies reacclimate to the temperatures that we're in. So yesterday morning, I was freezing. So I put on long sleeves, and this morning I expected to be that way. And I wasn't. I was just like my normal temperature again. So amazing how quickly our bodies do that for us. So let's see. Today we have a fairly quiet day on tap. When I was checking through all of the different transits for the day, there really is only the moon playing in the sign of Virgo. And while it's in Virgo, of course, it's opposing the sign Pisces. And in Pisces, we still have Neptune, Venus, Mercury. And so there's some touch and go information that is coming through to us today, touch and go emotional information that is coming through to us today. And I want you to understand that this is going to be one of those days where you may feel a little bit like that line that the stock market shows us, you know, the up and down lines, because first thing this morning, there's an opposition to Neptune, which is, you know, kind of an emotional, I want to call it like treacherous waters, but it's really not treacherous. It's more like unclear, where there may be emotional feelings that you don't really know where they're coming from. The moment you try to see your way clear, things get murky again. Anytime we have Neptune and the moon together, there's a sense of not being clear. And this may not be clear in your emotional body. In other words, one thing, but your emotions are telling you something different. Or your emotions are leading you to a feeling while your mind is going, no, 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 that's not true. So today is not going to be necessarily a good day to make big decisions because things are too unclear. The emotions and the mind are not in alignment today. However, other parts of the day, there may be moments of stellar clarity where the moon is in a trine to Saturn and Pluto, both in Capricorn, while the moon is in fellow Earth sign Virgo, and there can become a smooth, stable sort of feeling that comes over you, knowing what your mind is, knowing what your heart is, knowing what your emotions are. That is like the middle part of the day. And then the end of the day becomes an opposition to the moon opposes Venus. And again, we get that sort of emotional up and down feeling. So all in all today, you know, live well, be in your emotions, but don't take anything too seriously and don't try to make big decisions today because it's likely not going to be a good day for that. Let's see who we have out here now that's added to our morning show. Vanita, good morning to you. And Michelle Gay, good morning. And Asa, good morning. Glad to see you ladies with us this morning. excuse me. That came out of left field. Back to the allergy season, I guess, huh? I noticed this morning I went outside and the air smelled so sweet, right? Everything's blooming and you just take a real deep breath and you can just smell all the flowers that are coming up. And my tulips bloomed while I was gone, so all I can see are the vestiges of them. I have another set of tulips that are blooming this morning. I noticed I went outside. So it's nice that, you know, I didn't miss all the flowers blooming here in the valley. Okay, so I told you yesterday that I wanted to tell you a chicken story and I wanted to tell you a donkey story. And I don't see Linda with us yet, darn. So I'm not sure if I should wait for the chicken story, so I'll start with the donkey story. How's that? So we were in the Grand Turks or Grand Turk, Turks and Caicos. Grand Turk is the main island. It's the seat of that country's government. And of course, it is a territory of the British Crown. So everything was like Her Majesty's blank, you know, fill in the blank, Her Majesty's Environmental Department, blah, blah, blah. And we were having this great time, you know, working our way through the island. And all of a sudden, we start seeing donkeys everywhere. And the guy, the tour guide, Johnny Depp, told us that the donkeys were from the time when the island produced salt. It was like the biggest salt producer in the world at one point, until slowly over time, the United States overtook that. And the salt pans dried up, or they just weren't producing salt. And the donkeys would be the ones that carried the salt from the salt pans to the ships. And when they stopped producing salt, they just let the donkeys go. So the donkeys are free roaming on the island, and they're everywhere. And there was this one donkey that was by the beach when we went to the beach, and we all wanted to pet him. And one of the girls that we were with, she was an animal communicator, or she's a rescue. She rescues horses. And so she felt like she had this affinity with this donkey, and he let her just walk right up to him and pet him. So anyway, donkeys freewheeling all around the island. They're sort of revered. We asked the guy how they get food and water, because the island doesn't have any real fresh water. The water is brought in, and he said that the native people there, the residents, take care of the donkeys and make sure they have enough food and make sure they have enough water. And I thought it was the sweetest thing ever. Good morning, Debbie. And Debbie can tell you that was the story we got. And it was so funny because we had just come from Key West, Florida. And this is the part where I wanted Linda to be able to hear this, but she's maybe sleeping in this morning, feeling relief that her husband wasn't able to screw her out of money that he was supposed to, that she was supposed to get. Good morning, Vicky. Good morning, Suzanne. Good to see you ladies with us. Anyway, so we are in Key West, Florida. And, you know, Key West at one point was a Spanish territory. And so part of Cuba was also owned by the Spain. And so the Cubans brought over chickens and roosters for cockfighting. And when the United States got Key West back, the cockfighting rings broke up because it wasn't legal in the States. And so they released all the chickens to the island. And so consequently, now we have chickens roaming Key West, Florida. Debbie and I were walking down the street. There's Linda. So Linda, I'm telling the chicken story now. So the chickens were so sacred or loved by the people that you cannot kill a chicken on the island. So a free roaming chicken is a rooster. They are free to come and go wherever you want them, wherever they want to go, because, you know, that's just how it goes. If you hurt a chicken, you are fined. And it's a pretty significant fine, apparently. I don't remember the dollar amount. Maybe Debbie can chime in and tell us. So we were walking down the street, and here's a mama chicken and her little baby chicks following behind her. If they cross the street, you have to stop. You can't hit a chicken. And the funniest part was we were sitting in a restaurant. It was open air, granted. I mean, the sides were open, and we were sitting in a harbor, so, you know, that we could see the boats, and the water was just right there and sidewalks leading around. And I looked down, and there's a chicken. And he's just running along. I think it was a young rooster, actually. He was just running around the floor, picking up any scraps of food that people might have dropped. And you can't do anything about it, right? They're okay to be in the restaurants or in the stores or in your front yard, in your backyard, wherever they choose to go. They are free to roam around the island. And it's pretty funny, actually. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure they take precautions. I'm sure that floor in that restaurant is mopped and taken care of. But there was also a pigeon on the floor in that restaurant wandering around, and the chicken and the pigeon were kind of getting at it because the chicken wasn't happy that the pigeon was getting some of the food. So it was pretty funny. So Linda, that story is for you, because I know chicken is your totem animal, and it was just kind of fun to see how people live in balance with nature and how they take care of nature, even if it's something that we normally don't think of as being okay, like chickens in a restaurant, other than the ones that you would eat. They're not allowed, right? I can't even imagine sitting over, you know, in any kind of restaurant with a chicken running around. But on that island, they were definitely allowed to roam through the place. Linda says, that is so cool. Love my chickens. Vicky, in the Dominican Republic, we woke up in a city of 2 million people to roosters crowing. It was not uncommon to see guys walking down the street with a rooster in their arms going to a cockfight. Now, I didn't see that at all, but I would believe that there were quite a few animals, you know, roaming through the hills when we were on our way to Coconut Grove or Coconut Cove, whatever the name is of the beach that we were going to. Natasha, good morning. May all have grace and love in your day. I love that. Thank you very much. So anyway, very cool chicken story, very cool donkey story. And so let's talk now about what is going on in human design for a moment. My intention today, this won't be a very long broadcast, I don't think, today, because personally, I'm already done telling you what's up energetically with the planets today. But I want to talk about two things. One, I want to talk about Mercury and Venus, because later this week, in fact, today, they're moving into the same gate. Well, one moves into the gate 25, and then just as Mercury leaves, then Venus moves into the gate. So we have, you know, an extended period of time, 7 days, I think it is, where we're working with the energy at gate 25. So I want to talk about that in just a minute. And then I also want to be able to do a few readings today for people in astrology this time on the Jupiter retrograde, where it is in your chart and what that means that you're working on. And so we'll be able to do some of that as well. So right now, while I start talking about Mercury and Venus, why don't you guys give me a hint as to who wants to have me take a look at Jupiter in their astrology chart. So you can just say me, 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 or I'd love one or something like that. Let me know. I'll take about three people, maybe four. We'll see how many people want that. In the meantime, I want to show you where gate 25 is on a human design chart. Hold on. Let me just highlight it here. Because the gate 25 is one of the gates of love. And of course, we just recently had the sun sitting here. And so here is the identity center. It is the central part. It's white if you have it open. It is yellow if you have it defined. And it is the center for identity. It is the center for love and lovability and self-worth. And there are four gates of love that sit here on this particular center. We have the gate 25, which is in its highest universal love. The gate 46 in its highest is the love of the physical body. It's literally ecstasy. And then gate 15, which comes down here, it is the gate of rhythm and timing. And then gate 10 is the love of humanity. And in those gates, then, we have anchored in our soul. It is the identity center. We consider the seat of the soul. And you can just, you know, feel it. It's just right here, right? The seat of your soul is literally your heart center, almost the center mass, let's say, of your body, of your torso. And these gates open us up to various levels of love, whatever it is that it's, you know, if it's the love of the physical body or the love of the physical world, then it's about how we anchor ourselves and love being in the physical. And the other gates are the love of self, the love of body, or wait, the love of self, the love of humanity, and the love that's just universal love. So sort of the glue love, right? The love that holds together the universe. And so today, Mercury, the planet of communication and, you know, other things, mostly communication, teaching, transportation in some cases, commerce, is moving into the gate 25. And the gate 25 in the Gene Keys, in its lowest expression, is the gate of constriction. This is where we constrict, where we pull into ourselves. And instead of relaxing and opening up, we have this tendency in the shadow expression to make ourselves smaller or to, you know, just bring everything in. And this is going to be a time where you may feel a constriction in your voice, right? You may have something to say, and instead of saying it, you may lock it down, right? Lock it down. Your mind is also a part of Mercury. And if this is the case, then maybe you have this constriction in the mind where your mind comes in and it can't see anything but what its constant thought processes are. So if you have a constant thought process that the universe is out to get you, then in this time, there's not going to be much ability for you to move beyond that unless you consciously look at the pattern in your mind and in your communication. So that might look like you really understanding and listening, tuning in to what it is that you're saying to yourself, to other people, muttering to yourself, right? We all kind of talk to ourselves. And if we're, if you're wandering through the house calling yourself an idiot because you can't find your glasses, or you are, bashing yourself for things, then you are in constriction, right? You're using your voice for constriction, and that begins to show up in your outer world. Remember, words have power. Words create. And the mind is also a creative power. So there is the sense that for the next few days, we are having to really understand and look at how it is we value our words and our own selves, right? This is the identity center. It is the center for self-love, value, lovability, self-worth, right? So are you being loving and kind and generous to yourself and seeing that reflected back to you from others in your world? Or have you shut yourself down? Have you brought in your world? So then that'll be from April 16th today through the 19th on Friday. And then on Friday, Venus, the goddess of love, right? The energy of love, the energy of value and self-worth is going to move into the gate 25. And she here is going to start making us look at the constriction in our hearts, in our hearts. And in my heart of hearts, do I really hold the energy of love? Love for myself, love for my family, love for my community, love for the world, love for the plight of others in the world. And how are we holding on to that energy of love? Are we expanding it and letting it grow and move out from us? Or are we holding it in? Are we not even feeling loving? Are we not feeling worthy? Are we not feeling lovable? So we have that until the 23rd. So we have about 7 days today, from today, for our energies to be broken open, our hearts and our minds to be broken open and to be expanding and moving into universal love and moving into more and more loving energy and away from the constriction energy. I wanted to see what the gift was at 25. I always forget that one. The gift is acceptance. So constriction can sometimes occur because we don't like the situation that we're in. And the first step out of that is an acceptance of where you are, of what is going on around you, of the situation. When you can come into acceptance of it rather than fighting it, then you are opening up as opposed to shutting down. And from that space of acceptance, then you can move into the gate or the energy of love. And so, any questions about that, anybody? Let's see. You know I'm up for a reading, so I've got Mimi for a Jupiter reading. I have Jessica Hughes for a reading, Jessica H. And Rebecca. Okay, I did that kind of in reverse order. So it'll be Rebecca, Jessica, Mimi, and then Vicky. I'm so backwards here. Vicky up here. Okay, there we go. So I've got four people. If I have time, I will get to you, Vanita, and Fazil. I don't think I have any information for you, birth information. So I'm going to jot your name down here. If I have time, I will get to you, but please somehow give me, you can type, if you're comfortable with it, you can type that here into the chat. I will need your birth date, birth time, and birthplace. All right. So let's take a look here, Rebecca. We're going to play this game again where Janet's going to have to figure out how she can share her screen. And I want a Chrome tab, and I want this one right here, share. And I'm going to go back here for a moment while I move it to the broadcast. And I'm going to solo it. Right. Okay. So first is going to be Rebecca. So Rebecca, let me get your chart up here very quickly. Now we're taking a look at Jupiter specifically because Jupiter turned retrograde on April 10th, a week ago. And for the next 4 months, of course, it changes the nature of growth in our world, in our lives. And it is a bridge between the personal and the collective. So Jupiter and Saturn both hold that place of bridging both that outer and that inner. And there's my Rebecca. And so we personally have this growth moving through us, but it is also something that the collective is engaging with. And so hold on one moment while I get her transit chart up. Here we go. And I'm going to go quick check back. Somebody let me know if you're seeing the chart okay. And Michelle, good morning. And Suzanne, if Jupiter's going retrograde through my second house and my gate 25 is defined, should I be looking more at second house things during this time for healing? It's Mercury and Venus that will be at gate 25, not Jupiter. But Jupiter is sitting at gate 11, Asa. So gate 11 is about light. So if healing in love is allowing more light into yourself, into your life, then absolutely, that's perfect. But healing maybe financially is part of it, right? Maybe reducing debt, maybe dealing with credit issues, maybe dealing with, paring down your expenses, all of that, maybe increasing your income, all things that are part of the healing path there for you. So one moment here, seeing just fine. Okay, great. So let me go back. I'm going to go to this one. Now, hopefully that's the one you guys are seeing. So this is Rebecca's chart. So Rebecca, on the inner wheel, just a quick reminder for everybody. The inner wheel is what the natal chart is. Everything in here is a placement of what it looked like at the moment you were born. If I took a picture, right? That snapshot of the entire sky at the time you were born. On the outer wheel, then, you see the same planets or the same symbols, but they are moved from the place of birth to new areas in your chart. So a transit reading's worth is really about looking at how the transiting planet is interacting with the natal planets. And for you, Rebecca, here is, I hope you guys can see my mouse or my cursor moving around. Your Jupiter retrograde is in the first house. And let's see, Jupiter retrograde today is at 24 degrees. So your Jupiter, you've had a Jupiter return, right? You had that earlier in the year. Probably in February, right? You had your Jupiter return. Now a Jupiter return is a time when, you are like up leveling, right? It's like you've completed a cycle and now you're embarking on a new cycle. And that new cycle is a cycle of growth and expansion. And in that growth and expansion for you, it's in the first house. So it's about you personally, expanding and growing. So you may have seen in the first house changes in your viewpoint. You may have been expanding the way you view the world and also expanding the way the world viewed you, right? So in the first house, it's all about the self. We have self-acceptance. We have self-love. We have self-discovery. We have almost any word that you can put after the word self is what it is that you are here to work on in this lifetime, because your natal Jupiter is also here in that first house. So Jupiter transiting here triggers a new level in self-growth. Now, you have quite a few planets, by the way, Rebecca, in your first house. You have Uranus, you have Jupiter, you have the South Node, the galactic center, your natal Neptune, and your natal, lunar eclipse, showing what your biggest lessons were going to be in this lifetime. And they're all about you, babe. It's you, babe, right? It's all about you. And the good thing here is, you know, you're really looking at how to be true to you. And you may have had some instances over the last couple of months while Jupiter, or well, since last, what, November, when Jupiter moved into Sagittarius here, where you were sort of coming out of the closet, if you will, parts of you that you'd kept hidden, you're allowing to come out into the world as a part of your growth and expansion. Well, now that Jupiter is in retrograde, it is a sort of integration of that. So integrating and loving more and more of those parts of yourself that you've learned to express. And it's, I don't want to say this is a difficult time, because that's not quite true, but there may be some new ahas, some new stuff that's coming up that you're seeing in yourself. You may absolutely love it and you want more of it, or there may be some things coming up that you're like, wow, is that really me? I'm not really liking that part of myself. And you may be tempted to reject it. But what I want you to consider is embracing all parts of yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and just loving it all, because it is all a part of who you are. You get to choose how you express these parts of yourself, right? That's your free will here. But if you try to push away those parts of yourself that you don't like, those parts, what you resist persists, right? You've heard that saying. So embrace all that you are. And let me tell you, when this gets back to August and September, you're going to find yourself flying, right? Your wings are going to be expanded as your Jupiter comes in contact with the galactic center in the first house. And there's going to be a whole new you put forth outward to the world. Your work, what you do, how you believe who you are in the world, etc. So I hope that all makes sense. Let me go back really quick and see if there are comments about that. Doggone it. Okay, hold on, guys. I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to change source to the bigger chart. Share. There we go. Now you're seeing the bigger chart, I hope. Solo. There we go. Okay. So now it's bigger, right? Now you guys can see the bigger half. And yeah. Okay, good. Now, so Rebecca, if you have any questions, let me know. If that makes sense, if it doesn't make sense, it's a pretty powerful setup for you. I mean, this is something Jupiter, for all of you to hear me here, Jupiter transits once every 12 years through any part of your chart. So it has been 12 years then since the planet Jupiter has been in your first house and you've had this level of growth going on personally, Rebecca. So 12 years ago, this is 2019, so it would have been around 2007. That would have been the last time this began for you, and you went through a cycle of growth, and now you've come back to the start point again. Now you're on the up level, right? You're up leveling. So you can go back to 12 years ago and look at what was going on in your life. What were you learning about you? How were you expanding? And now you would see the next version of that, right? The next level of that. All right. So I hope that makes sense. If you guys have any questions, please let me know. So let's go to, how do I get back there? Here we go. So now I'm going to go to Jessica Hughes. And you can still ask questions if you need to, Rebecca. Jessica, I hope I have you in here. Did I just pass you? H-U-G-H. I don't have you in here, Jessica. So Jessica, do me a favor. Why don't I have you in here? Maybe I just have you under Jessica. Let's see here. Maybe I didn't know your last name at the time. Nope. I don't. I'm so sorry. So Jessica, why don't you get me your birth information? And in the meantime, I will go on to who was after you, Mimi. So Mimi, let's see if I can pull your chart up and we'll take a look at what's going on for you. And Mimi, there she is. Oh, Mimi, go. Go, Mimi, go. And hold on 1 second. It's going to transition over to that chart. And let me just check and see you guys are seeing the big chart. So Mimi, this is your chart. So same thing for you, Mimi. The planet Jupiter is moving on the outer ring here, right? This is the transiting area. In the inner wheel is all of the planets and where they were when you were born. And this mess of lines, for anybody who's new to astrology or who doesn't understand what we're talking about here, all these lines are just the aspects, the relationships between the planets. I know it looks like a mess, but it really just tells me that Mimi has a lot going on in her chart. And you can tell, look at her, how all the planets are splayed around, right? They're not all like in one part of the chart. They're all around the wheel. So you can almost guess that the aspects or the relationship then between these planets would be more complex because there is so much going on here. So Mimi, here's Jupiter in your chart. It is moving through the ninth house of growth and expansion, but you can see Jupiter's retrograde a bit. Jupiter's retrograde, not a bit. It's definitely retrograde. And it's right here on the edge of your ninth house. It is literally going to cross backwards into the eighth house for you during its time in retrograde. I'm going to say long about June, you're going to begin to see some more transformative energies going on in your life. The ninth house is about growth and expansion. It is literally the house that Jupiter rules in a chart. So growth and expansion and optimism, bringing more faith and more trust into the higher aspects of yourself as time goes on here. But first, there's going to be another bit of change going on in your life, and not necessarily like a negative change. Remember back in the beginning of Jupiter's transit in Sagittarius, it hit your destiny. This right here is your north node. And that means that it set you on a path, like a new trajectory, a new 19-year cycle and of getting closer and closer to the real authentic you. And Jupiter hasn't moved that far since then, but it won't retrograde all the way back to this point. It's going to retrograde to about here, but it's definitely going to retrograde backward into that eighth house. So I would bet there's more change and transformation coming in the world that you work in, or in the way that you see the world, in your relative state of optimism and growth. So change. The eighth house is also the house of other people's money. OPM, I call it. But other people's money means things like debt, credit, lottery winnings, money coming in from investments of your time or investments of your dollars. So the possibility here is that you are dealing again with investments that you've made and possibly seeing the fruits of your labors in that. Maybe it is about taxes. It could be about government grants. It could be about any number of things if it's money related. And the possibility here is also maybe something that was started monetarily earlier in this transit comes to fruition. So, and it yet may take a little bit of time for that. So I would love to hear back from you on that and see how that there we go, Jessica. Hold on. I'm going to write your birth date down really quickly. I know I did human design, but I'm not in the human design place. I need to know what city you were born in, Jessica. Yeah, I don't have my human design program open. And besides that, if I did it a while back, it's probably gone because remember my computer crashed right around the beginning of the year. So as soon as I get your city of birth, I will do that for you. Okay. So yes, Colleen, the 12 years is for all of us. Interesting. If so, I started my dog walking business then. And as you know, want to level up. I was unsure then as I am now, but it all worked out. So, yeah, exactly. So, every one of you, wherever Jupiter is transiting in your chart, it would have been 12 years ago that it was in that same spot. Now, not all of you are having a Jupiter return, as Rebecca has had, because not all of you have Jupiter natally in the sign of Sagittarius. But, for all of you, Jupiter is definitely back in the same spot it was when it was 12 years ago, 2007. So you can count backwards and see what was I growing. And, you know, let me say something about Jupiter. We often think of Jupiter as growth, and I say this all the time, it's about growth and expansion, but it challenges us at times as well. We always think of Jupiter as the greater benefic planet, as it brings us good, and it sets us up for good things, right? But if there is something in the way of you garnering the good in your life, for bringing that in, you will be challenged by Jupiter first and foremost. So for example, if Jupiter's going through your money house, let's say the second house, and you're saddled with debt, you may have to deal with that first before you can see the benefits of an expanding Jupiter, of a Jupiter that's expanding your income or your money and your financial picture. If Jupiter is moving through your seventh house of relationships, you may have to contend first with whatever issue lies between you and a loved one or a friend or a business partner before you can actually see growth and expansion. So Jupiter just doesn't willy-nilly go out there and throw all this good at you without you first having to clean up your yard, right? Cleaning up your own messes. So sometimes you will have that catalyzed first, and then you can see the benefits later. All right. So Mimi says, sounds good. My thoughts, investment and time well spent for growth and for future. Good. And Jessica, thank you. I've got your birthplace. Okay. So any questions? Rebecca says, thank you so very much. Everything resonated deeply. A lot to take in. Integration feels so fitting. Recorded on my phone to take notes and contemplate. Yes, you are so welcome. All right. And any other comments by you, Mimi? I will take a look at that. I'm going to go back to the chart here. And I've got to first add Jessica Hughes in. So I'm going to add a new person. So bear with me here for a moment, Jessica, and I apologize that somehow you're not in my regular astrology program. I could have sworn I'd done an astrology chart for you before too. And goodness, you were born the year I got married. That's always fun to see. Alrighty, so just one moment here and it'll let me bring your chart up. And I want to take a look and make sure you guys are seeing the big chart. It hasn't fully loaded there. Now you're seeing it. Okay, so Jessica, darling, this is yours. And again, the inside birth chart. Now notice the difference in the pattern in Jessica's chart. In Mimi's chart, every planet was sort of everywhere, but Jessica's seems to be a little bit more like a seesaw. In fact, some astrologers may call this a seesaw pattern. The only thing sticking out over here is the part of fortune, but otherwise all the planets seem to be in opposition to one another or in a seesaw sort of pattern. And that means that there are key areas in her chart. It's not a bad or a good thing. It just means that's a pattern, right? We notice these kinds of patterns. And you can see she's got squares. These red lines are the 90 degree angles that are challenging. She's got some stability in those kinds of challenges, which is sort of a good thing. It means she's got the tenacity and endurance to stick through the challenges that appear in her life. And I see that she's got this nice little pyramid going on with the trines in her chart. So the gifts and the talents to get through the challenges and the obstacles. So she has a very nice pattern in her chart. So Jessica, first, let's take a look at where your natal Jupiter is. Ooh, it's in the dark. It is literally sitting here right on the edge of your 12th house. Hopefully you can see where my little mouse is twirling around. That is the planet Jupiter from birth. You are a hidden master. When I find Jupiter in the 12th house, this is someone who has come here to do big work, to become revealed. Look what else you have going on here in your 12th house. You've got Saturn, you've got Mars, you've got Pluto, and you've got Jupiter. You've got the big guns sitting in your 12th house. There is a lot that you've hidden over a lifetimes about yourself, maybe because you've been persecuted in other lifetimes. That's the typical thing I see with a lot of 12th house energy, is that the person has been persecuted, maybe even lost their life. So they go underground with their gifts and their power and their all of this mastery, the master within. So your challenge in this lifetime is to bring it out, right? This is not those lifetimes, right? You are not going to be killed for being a witch or being a healer or being an educator in this lifetime. So you are here to bring out more and more, releasing yourself, as it were, from prison, right? From a prison of your own making, or a prisoner of your own beliefs. So that's where your natal Jupiter is. And there's a lot of work here for you in this lifetime. I think sometimes you might feel like you have a lot of stuff that you've got to wade through to process and get through. And indeed, that's part of your journey here, is to process through some of these old things. Now, Jupiter in transit is right down here. It is moving through your money house, your second house. Now, this is a money house, but it's also the house of self-worth, right? Being worthy, and being worthy to be who you want to be, being worthy to do what you want to do, to receive money or income for the work that you do. So your challenge at this point is to wade through those feelings of unworthiness and see your true value. So for you right now, there's a big, this is a sextile here between Jupiter and your natal Jupiter. Not quite right now, but it has been already in place. So there's a need for you to really recognize your gifts and the things that you have to offer to the world, and to dare to bring them out. Right? To bring them out, to show your true face, to show your true gifts to the world. Neptune is in the mix here. In fact, Jupiter right now is right on top of your natal Neptune. You may be feeling very psychic right now, very in tune. It may be popping up in dreams. You may be prophetic. All of the clairs may be being tickled, clairsentience, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairvoyance. All of the intuitive gifts are really spiking right now for you. So I think the real benefit, the real integration here for you, is to learn to trust, have faith in your own inner voice, your own inner direction finder. I hope that makes sense to you. I'm going to check over here and see comments. Jessica, what do you think? Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like what's been going on in your life, or what? I think the best thing for you to do right now is to really just have faith in yourself. You're still so young, right? You're what, 37 years old, or you'll be 37 years old in July. So this is a time for you to really begin that, you know, pretty soon, in about 3 or 4 years, you're going to be in your midlife crisis, we call it. That's going to be a turning point. So why not start the turning point now? Integrate all of those intuitive gifts that you have consciously, so that it's not coming out in unconscious, self-sabotaging ways, right? So get on it. Get on the intuition bus. Whatever it is that you've been holding yourself back from, Jessica, is what I want you to focus on. And right now you may need to do the inner shifting that you have to do in order to be able to do that. That might mean you have to change your beliefs about yourself, sweetie. You may have to understand that you are truly a gift to the world, and that you have to be able to share that with the world. Okay, hidden master, hidden mistress here, right? There's something going on here that you've brought down and hidden that I want you to bring up and expand outward. So exploring the inner dimensions right now about where that is. Okay. I said you were going to bloom later in life. Well, you're getting later in life here every day. I think that's probably because in your human design, you're a 6-2 maybe, or you have the line 6 moving through your profile. Line 6 people bloom, are late bloomers. And that means there, you know, you're in triphasic state. So you're, let's see, you'd be 37 or 36 right now. So you are in that second phase of your life of that six. And that means you are sort of up on the roof, considering moving through stuff. What is it I want? You may have children or a business or something right now that you have that's focused, you know, your attention. And that's okay. But it doesn't mean that you can't begin this process of expanding outward to the world in a way that is truly profound. So, you know, it looks like then in about 9 years or so, you're going to have your Jupiter return. And you better be fully ready and out there in the world at that point in time, because at that point you'll be what, 43, you'll be past your midlife crisis, and it'll be time to rock and roll. All right. Okay. Very much what she's experiencing. I love it when a plan comes together. All right. So after Jessica, we had Vicky. So Vicky, I'm going to get, you're welcome, sweetheart. So I'm going to go back to charts here and I'm going to get Vicky. I think Vicky, have you under Smith maybe? Mm-hmm. Let's just do Vicky first. V-I-C-K. Okay, Vicky. Vicky, is it Clark Smith or Smart Smith Clark? Let's do, I have lots of Smiths. Holy moly. Okay. Vicky, I don't think maybe I put you under Clark. Let's go back up. Vicky, there you are. And just a moment while it takes its time popping up. I don't know why this site loads so slowly for me anymore. It drives me crazy because I'm on it all the time. But okay, let me make sure that you're seeing this chart. Okay, so you should be seeing the chart now, Vicky. And all right, Vicky, so you've got a Mimi-like chart, right? Where every house except one has something going on in it. Even the sixth house here has some things going on in it. And your natal Jupiter is up here in Taurus and in the eighth house. So in some ways, Vicky, you are, this is also, by the way, the eighth house is sometimes the house that we think of as money that comes to you from a spouse or from inheritance or from investments made, et cetera. And your Jupiter is here and it's conjunct Mars. And it's in a sign that is a financial sign, financial security sign. So I think there's a lot of work on your part in this life to climb to a level that feels good monetarily, right? That feels safe and secure money-wise. So you may be a saver. Maybe you're someone who has investments where you're sort of more conservative financially. And so you're putting money aside. And that's a really good thing in the climate that we're in right now as we're preparing for a change in our financial system. So for you, the only thing you would want to watch out for is this idea of lack consciousness. Taurus struggles with this at times. I think Taurus energy is awesome for manifesting the things they want. I call them the master manifestors, because once they have in their mind or in their heart, whatever way you want to look at it, of something that they want, they go straight for it. And they are doggedly holding on to that. But what if they're doggedly holding on, or bullishly, let's say, holding on to lack consciousness, right? That's a potential here as well. And if you're holding on to lack consciousness, then it's time for you to release yourself from that. Now, let's see where transiting Jupiter is. Now, transiting Jupiter's down here in the third house. Hopefully you can see my mouse moving around here. So where you've been growing and expanding since November is in the mind. Right? What is going on in my head? What are my thoughts focused on? What are my belief patterns? Am I, you know, being short-sighted? Am I locked in a pattern, a rut of thinking. Like if I can't remember what your human design chart looks like, but if your human design chart is locked into a defined ajna, you may be struggling to change your thinking patterns. But growth here for you lies in an area of expansion of the mind, expansion in communication, expansion in networking and getting out amongst new people. And growth opportunities are coming for you from your social networks here. The people that you work with, maybe the people that you, you know, tangentially get met or meet through your maybe clubs or associations. This is very social energy in the transiting Jupiter. So now you are taking internally some of the expansion that's gone on with your mind, some of the people that you've met who've had that effect on you, perhaps of expanding or exploding your mind. And now what is it on the internal that needs to shift in order for you to move on? I wonder too, if at some point here, you're a teacher of some of these more metaphysical concepts. Hard to say exactly, because this particular house is it's empty except for the galactic center. So really there's a stream of consciousness coming in towards you for this, but you may have to adjust some of your old beliefs and your old habits and your old ideas in order to embrace the new, because your Jupiter is connected to this. This is an inconjunct. What else do we call that? It's half of a yod, but it's called an inconjunct. And it's a place of adjustment and sacrifice. You may have to let go of the old in order to allow the new thought to come in. You know what this reminds me of, Vicky, is someone who was raised, and I'm not bashing religion, so please don't get that, but someone who was raised maybe strict Catholic or strict Baptist, or raised, you know, to have very strict beliefs in some way, shape, or form, whether it's religious, cultural, etc. And now you're having to break out of that. To expand your mind, you have to break out of the conditioning of your younger years, of your old belief patterns. But yet you may still find yourself surrounded by people that hold on to those older beliefs. And now you feel different, right? You feel different than them, and maybe even a little hesitant to show them your new way of thought or your new way of being, right? Because maybe you feel like they may laugh at you, or think you're a bad person, or think you're cursed or damned, or whatever it is that other people think sometimes when we cross over into new territory, new beliefs, and expand ourselves, expand our horizons. So this is a lifetime of change for you, of transformation, right? Breaking out of the old patterns and making your connection to new ones. And I wonder, because your natal Chiron, so now I'm looking right here, and this has nothing to do with Jupiter, but your natal Chiron is in the fourth house of home and family and tradition. There's a wound here, and it's in the sign of Capricorn. That's a militaristic, a government, a disciplined sort of lifetime that you're looking at a wound around. So it's hard to determine exactly how that may play out, but it sounds to me, or it looks to me, like you want to break out of that old pattern. And the way to do that is to look at what's going on up here in your head. So her ajna is not defined. Awesome. So your ajna is not defined, but I would bet that there is somebody in your family whose ajna is defined. And while you were growing up with this family, you were as an open ajna, you are absorbing that energy of the person's defined ajna. And then you tend to amplify that energy and you're rebroadcasting it. But you're broadcasting thoughts that may be not even true for you. Then you get away from them, right? You grow up and you move away, or you go to college, or you get your own apartment, and suddenly that breaks from you. Now what comes flooding in is this potential open-mindedness. And if that's the case, then you begin this process of disidentifying, if I could get away with that, with the people that you grew up with. And in this case, you say you were raised Baptist, and you're absolutely right. You're breaking free of that. Not that it's a bad thing. It's that it's rigid, and you want to expand out of that. All right. So she says, exactly feel that way. My son and all my grandkids have defined ajnas. Well, hopefully what they pick up from you is this openness. Maybe that they can pick up from you this idea of being a little more open and seeing the world, broadening their horizons rather than having these, you know, blinders on and only seeing what, you know, is right in front of them, to open up those horizons and see the world in its bigger, wider influence, right? So, all right. So any questions, anybody that has questions? What was the other person that was Fazil? I don't see your birth information. So if you're still there, I need to get that information for a chart. And because now I've, Vanita, I'm going to bring your chart up. What time is it? Oh gosh, it's 9 o'clock. So I'm going to do it because I said I would. So Vanita, I'm going to bring up your chart because I don't see the other gentleman out there anymore. So let's get Vanita's chart up. And Vanita, I hope I moved you to this program. It helps if you spell right. Let's do it down this way. I can scroll faster. Because I think you are in my older, Vanita and I go way back. So I have Van, but I don't have Van Horst. So let me, just takes a second here, Vanita. I got to go back to my older program. Good gravy. So let's see, which one are you in? Probably Hotmail. By the way, I just want to give you guys a quick message, a quick update. On Thursday this week, the 18th, I am going to be with Cornelia Stephanie, and we're going to be doing the Ascension and Astrology show earlier in the day. We're going to be doing it at 9 o'clock in the morning because we're going to be interviewing Pia and Cullen, who are the, I don't remember who, if I talked, I know I talked to you guys about the Pleiadian, I don't even know what's showing on my screen. Here we go. The Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology, charting the spirals of consciousness. We are interviewing them on Thursday. So the show has to be done earlier because they live in the island of Cyprus in Europe, I guess that is. And so for them to come on at 4 p.m., it would be like 2 in the morning or something. So we changed the show on Thursday to 9 a.m. So I will be sending that link out today for you all for Ascension and Astrology, but I will share it to the Living Astrology page. I would love it if you would all join us that morning because this is a fascinating there's just something calling me to do this kind of astrology because first of all, I was fascinated by Mayan astrology when I first heard about this, and then to find out its basis was in the Pleiades, just made me go, woohoo, gotta talk to these people. So we'll be interviewing them on Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon on the East Coast. And I'll send out that link for you all today. All right, so let me get back here to Vanita's chart. And oh, there she is. So Vanita, just one moment while I wait for my slow program here to bring up your chart. And we'll take a look at what's going on with Jupiter for you. See, I get irritated with it and then it suddenly moves fast. And then it slows down again. Fine, be that way. Okay, so let me go over here and show this chart. All right, so you guys are seeing Vanita's chart now. Now in Vanita's chart, we see another kind of pattern. We see that the planets in her chart are all in this, about 3/4 of the chart have things going on in it. And two houses here, three houses, completely empty. Now that doesn't mean she doesn't have a career. It doesn't mean that she doesn't have hopes and dreams and aspirations from the 11th house. It doesn't mean she doesn't have money coming from the second house. Not at all. It just means we have to look at a different place to get information on how that house works for her. Now, Vanita, your natal Jupiter here in the ninth house of expansion and growth, the house that literally rules, but it is conjunct your sun in Pisces. So there's a lot of faith and trust and surrender that's going on in this chart for you for this lifetime. And the way to expand your horizons is through that spiritual connection to being compassionate, to being loving, to being very intuitive and following your intuition. That this is Jupiter is about growth, right? So the growth for you is in having faith. That mantra of let go and let God, it should be yours. Surrender, all of those Piscean sort of contents are yours. Sometimes too, with the energy of Pisces, we have there's this vagueness, right? We're never really sure about what it is we're supposed to do. And often then we try to figure it out, right? We try to get into our minds and we're trying to figure out where we're supposed to go. And that's the exact wrong approach for you. You need to get out of your head and down into your body and follow your instincts and your intuition into the right places. Now, Jupiter is transiting right now through your fifth house of love, romance, joy, creativity, the energy of risk-taking. So this is literally a house I think of as vacations, of play, of having fun. So Jupiter here in retrograde is taking you to an inner trip inward right now, inward. Where am I holding myself back from having fun? Where do I have this stuff rolling through my head of victim energy? Pisces, Jupiter, Pisces Sun, Pisces Chiron, Pisces Mercury in your chart, even a Pisces part of fortune, is telling you that you're still holding on to victim energy somewhere and or blaming others for what position you find yourself in now. And until you clear that out, until you really move that out of your field, then you are going to have a difficult time embracing love and romance and joy and excitement and play and fun. So working on that now would be about really catching yourself in the process of you know, what is going through my mind? You know, what is innermost here that, and it may even be in your heart, right? I'm going to pull a card around that one because I feel like maybe your heart shut down, the heart center shut down. And this is an opening of that heart center, that heart chakra, if you will, even hardening of your heart, right? This next 7 days is pretty powerful, I would imagine, for you in finding out how you can open up your mind, simultaneously opening up your heart. And I just want to pull a card. Well, I guess I didn't want to pull that card. Look at this. Milk and honey, right? Oh, wait, you can't see it. Hold on, I got to go back here for a second and show you. Remember yesterday, guys, we pulled this card, Milk and Honey. It was our card number 51, which was a 6. And let me hide my name here so you guys can see it better, right? Milk and Honey. So my sense, Vanita, is that if you are willing to let go of that old dogma, that old word, all the old shit going through your head, excuse my language, if you're willing to let all that go and instead replace it with loving thoughts about yourself, about the world, about your place in the world, that your life is going to change tremendously. So let's read Milk and Honey for you really quickly. 51, we should remember this because it was yesterday. It was a card for us for the week, right? And it came out right side up, right side up. So the taste of prosperity, abundance, opportunities born of authenticity, nurturing that abundance, trusting that your needs will be met, trust, surrender, let go and let God, faith, all those are big things for you here. You've entered a sweet time in your life, enjoying the land of milk and honey that everyone wants to experience. It's an interlude that feels more languid than ambitious when all your senses are awake to the unlimited possibilities in the universe. These times are precious and only come when you're in your authentic zone, wearing the world as a loose garment, not wanting, yet able to be nourished in ways both tangible and subtle. Abundance is an energy that you are a living part of. All your needs are being met. You are given the gift of nourishment in every form. I'm going to go on and read the relationship message for you as well. Sensuality, connection, and passionate romance between lovers, sweet moments of understanding and love among friends and family are all here for you to savor now. Your heart's calling will be answered. Let your thoughts and feelings be sweet with gratitude, and you will be nourished with the honey of abundance. And I'm going to read the prosperity message for you. There is only one authentic you. This version of yourself is spirit's emissary in the world. When you're in alignment with the truth that you are a unique expression of the divine, your ego can rest and your soul can illuminate your purpose. Now is the time when you're seeking your true north, which I happen to have that book, Your True North, somewhere here on my bookshelf. Now is the time when you're seeking your true north. When you find this direction, you automatically step into prosperity and the world brings you evidence of abundance. With every choice you make right now, you have the potential to seize good fortune and embrace your destiny. Opportunities will lead you to your best life now. Be open to them. You're getting a sweet taste of what you want. All right. So, even though that card came up for all of us yesterday, it seems to have a specific sweet message for you, Vanita, in order to be able to embrace more of what's going on in this astrology chart for you, which is Jupiter moving through the land of milk and honey. Literally, the fifth house is, you know, love, romance, joy, creativity, play, recreation, vacation, leisure, and taking a little bit of a risk to get that, right? What did I call it this year? I called it cautious risk-taking, right? So cautiously be risky, taking risks, but cautiously. All right. So I hope that makes total sense to you. And I'm going to bring that out and bring myself back in here. Vanita, exactly what I've been working on. And yay, I'm so excited for you, Vanita, right? This has been long, hard, and fought a long, hard fought battle almost here. And if you're willing to change your mind, if you're willing to change the way you've seen the world and your part in it and what people have done to you, or, you know, just, you know, all that stuff that we tell ourselves all the time, then you can affect huge change in your life. And all of you had some really good readings. So I hope everybody enjoyed that. And let's see, anything else going on? Colleen, oh, can't wait for Thursday. I can't either. I'm so excited. I'm just literally vibrating. So I would hope all of you will join us. We will be on the Ascension and Astrology Facebook page, but I will be sure to link that to my Living Astrology page so that you can find us at 9 a.m. again, East Coast, or 9 a.m. West Coast time, noon on the East Coast. All right, guys. Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful day. I hope you all have a great day. Much love to everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.